So if you have questions this morning, give Don and Carol a call here at WGNS. It needs to be a lawn and garden question or a question dealing with the master gardeners. Our number is 893-1450. What does it take to become a master gardener?
In the beginning, you take a 13-week class, starts usually the first or the second or third week of January, and it'll run through some portion of March. The class is composed of one weekly session of 3 hours of education. You have to complete that class, the test. You have to do 40 hours of community service your very first year in order to be certified. And you have to participate in a class project. This year, the class project is completing a rain garden out at the Ag Center. That'll be excellent. That'll be a great learning experience for not only the new class, but the existing master gardeners and anybody that pops by and sees how they do it. The project's being run by Dr. Warren Anderson from MTSU, who's done quite a few rain gardens.
What is a rain garden?
Rain garden's where you try to slow down the flow of water so that instead of running off your land and ripping out your soil and causing erosion, you let that water slow down and percolate down into the ground, thus re-entering the groundwater and taking the pollutants out of it in the meantime by planting plants that will take the sediment and the pollutant type agents back up into the plant and out of the system.
Often they're used on near large parking lots where you have a lot of pavement area to take that runoff water that's got petroleum contaminants in it and clean it up and so forth before it gets into groundwater.
So naturally filtering the water then.
Correct.
And has this been a knowledgeable thing for many years? If we went back to our forefathers, would they have been doing this?
No, I don't believe so. I think the concept of rain gardens is probably in the last 10 years. The first I heard of some being built on the MTSU campus were about 7 or 8 years ago.
So MTSU is one of the forerunners.
Yes. Warren Anderson, who is a master gardener as well, has kind of spearheaded that, I believe.
Wow, that's exciting to hear that happening. And, of course, it's a good way to have a garden and let Mother Nature water it instead of your water bill going out.
Yes, and it provides habitat for little creatures, salamanders, mm-hmm. Little reptiles. Those guys are going to go for that water, too.
So right.
It's a win-win.
Now, do you also work, we're at the time of the year where people are thinking about putting out gardens, putting out flower gardens, things of that sort. And certain plants attract hummingbirds, butterflies, and other beautiful objects like that. Do you work on things like that? Do you show your master gardeners how to do that?
Okay, the master gardeners have a demonstration garden at the campus of the extension office. And yes, there is a butterfly garden there, a small one. It's also an herb garden, and so there are trials like that to demonstrate plants that do attract butterflies. We have a very knowledgeable person heading up that project, a master gardener, and she talks about the different kinds of plants you need for different butterflies and that type of thing.
Now, we're not too far away from the farmer's market opening up once again. Don't you have some programs during the farmer's market days?
Yes. My understanding is that that's going to expand this year, and I'm not sure how much it's going to expand. But the first Friday of each month, the master gardeners put on a lecture demonstration on some gardening topic. Now, my understanding the expansion will be that some additional days, the Extension Service is planning additional programming. So, yes, it's a good opportunity not only to find good, tasty, fresh fruits and vegetables, but also to learn some knowledge.
And that's what it's all about. Let's talk a little bit more about your sample garden there at the Lane Agri-Park, because I know that Mitchell Moat and some of the crew have patches of grass where you actually walk on the different grass and you can see what it looks like at the different seasons. I did not realize there was a sample garden, a sample area where you could see different plants that are, I guess, native to this area, at least not ones that would be difficult to grow, that would attract butterflies, hummingbirds, what have you. Where is that located?
There is at the I guess it would be, I'm trying to get geographically located here. I think it's at the north end of the building. There's a small plot of perennials, shrubbery. Mm-hmm. And then as you go back towards the farmer's market, there's a little demonstration area just before you get there on the right. That's the herb garden and butterfly garden. They also have some compost bins, for an example, and so forth.
It's on John Rice Boulevard. It's the large complex right there with mm-hmm. with the pond. We also have vines, a vineyard. We have an orchard. And we're going to have an Ag Day, not sponsored by the Master Gardeners, but sponsored by the Farm Bureau, that's going to be on April the 20th of this year. It'll be all day. They'll have all kinds of agricultural activities, great for families. I know last year there were people at the garden, there were hay rides, there were beekeepers, there were llama keepers. It might have been alpacas, excuse me. But there were weavers, there were cattle people, there was tons of chickens, and the kids could even see a observation beehive. We also had the demo garden going out front for people, but we're going to have more demo gardens for them this year, and maybe the kids will even get to plant a seed or two, or a plant.
Now, is there a certain type of garden? It seems like we go through new types of gardens, and I remember one year my wife got all excited. She was going to plant some kind of a garden that we packed up newspapers. I've forgotten what that was called, but we did it and had a little rise in the yard and put dirt over it.
Oh, you mean put down newspapers on the ground?
Right.
That's used to kill the grass.
Oh, okay.
If you want to start a new garden without using chemicals or a lot of effort digging up that grass, you can place 8 to 10 layers of newspapers on the ground. You can put soil over the top of it. The newspapers will kill what's underneath, just like leaving a tarp out in the yard too long.
Mm-hmm.
Then as time goes on and you get more moisture and more root activity, those newspapers will break down. So you'll just, after you put the organic matter, the soil or the compost or the mulch on top of those newspapers and plant your plants in it, they will eventually be able to go all the way through into the ground itself.
Okay. The word, I think, was lasagna garden.
Yes, lasagna yes. garden. And it can be used in more than just a new garden. It can establish garden. It's effectively just like a mulch. It keeps the weed seeds from germinating.
Oh, okay.
And so it becomes a useful way to mulch your rows and so forth as well.
Now, was that a hit garden about 5 or 10 years ago?
Well, it's still
ago?
Popular.
Still popular, okay. Uh-huh. Well, tell us, let's talk a little about raised gardens, too, because a lot of people have been calling in on earlier shows about creating a raised garden. And
raised beds.
Raised mm-hmm. beds. Mm-hmm. What's the advantage of that?
Well, the advantages is, first of all, it brings it up to you. It's easier to work. As I get older and older, it's harder and harder to bend over. The next thing is, it's a container garden on the ground. So it does require more water than what you would get if you just put your garden in the ground. But you got a lot more control over the soil and the quality of the soil. And that's the most important thing. It's all about the soil.
Now, should you, if you're building this container, does it need to have a bottom to it?
No.
No, it doesn't have to.
The only time I would, well, you'd, the only thing I could think of time when you would need a bottom is if you were using a wheelchair. Now, gardening is very therapeutic. In a rest home environment or a wheelchair environment, you can actually build raised beds that are up high enough off the ground that people can put their chair or their wheelchair, roll them right up to it. And that enables people who may have gardened in the past and would like to do it in the future but aren't that mobile.
And so it doesn't matter what you put in the garden. I mean, you could plant tomatoes, you can plant strawberries, flowers, whatever you wish.
Within mm-hmm. rational thought, I mm-hmm. wouldn't plant fig trees.
Okay. a little difficult to get the fruit off of them. But now, if you are not wheelchair bound, is a fig tree, I've never even thought about planting a fig tree.
Generally speaking, the bed will be 18 inches to 3 feet high, depending on your circumstances and so forth. Maybe even down to 8 or 9 inches. But you're going to plant plants that are convenient height to get to. So if you planted a corn plant in a 3 foot high garden, and mm-hmm. you could have some problems. So you got to balance out what you right. want and the effort to do it.
If you wanted to plant a fig tree, and I love figs, how long does it take to get the figs? I mean, is that one or two seasons? Or?
Yeah, I think you can have figs the first or second season.
Oh, really?
But that's not a really great plant for this area because in periods of cold, it will probably die back.
Hmm.
And sometimes die back to the ground. But it might come back from the rootstock that's left in the soil. So that was a bad example. I apologize. Another plant I wouldn't plant up high off the ground is an asparagus because most of the plants under the ground, you're just getting a little bit of the plant that comes up out of the ground in the spring.
Okay. The reason the fig tree excited me because my mother-in-law had one right here in this area.
Yes.
And it grew and grew and grew. In fact, they had to keep cutting it back and back and back.
Yeah,
but you just go out and pick the figs and eat them right off of it.
I've heard of several people that grow figs locally, so they may be not as hardy, but we're in a transitional zone, and I think they effectively can be grown,
at least the right varieties.
It almost looked like a bush more than a tree.
Yes, and they are luscious.
Oh, boy. As a kid, I used to love to get them in the cans at the store. But this was better.
Yes.
All fruits and vegetables are better fresh.
Oh, yes. We just don't have that opportunity usually to get those. Now, here we are. This is the 28th of February, the last of the month, the last day of the month, basically. What should we be planting now as we enter March?
Generally, we think in terms of cold crops, warm season crops, and then maybe cooler crops in the fall as well. So now you can be planting lettuce, onions, crops of broccoli, this type of thing that grows cabbage, that grows in cooler climates.
Spinach. Peas. You could plant peas now if you'd like.
Yeah, and they'd be ready about when?
Oh, I'd have to have the package in front of me to say 50 to 60 days. I apologize.
That's okay. This is not a test, but you're about to have one. Let's go to the phones. Master Gardeners Don Richardson and Master Gardener Carol Reese with us. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Hey, good morning. Hey, good enjoy morning. Your show.
Thank you.
I was watching a program. Actually, it was an old Western, and the guy was using gypsum to filter his water. I'm not familiar with what gypsum is. Could you give me an idea?
Who would like to tackle that? Don?
Yeah, I don't know the chemical formula for gypsum, but it's got magnesium carbonate or magnesium sulfate, if I recollect right, and so forth. So it's a buffer that you would use to change the pH. I have another hobby of fish ponds, and I use some gypsum as an additive to keep my water pH stable. So, yes, I think it's a product like that you use to buffer soil and so forth, if I remember correctly.
And it's safe, I mean, environmentally?
Yes. It's really mined out of the soil and so forth. I think that one of the principal areas they used to get a lot of it was from the Columbia area.
So it's not a phosphorus base then?
No. It's
that's what I can't get the chemical formula for it, so...
I think it's magnesium sulfate, but it's been a long time since I had college chemistry.
Yeah, chemistry, yeah. That's not everybody's favorite subject anyway, but I would just... and you can get it naturally then.
Yes, well, for example, what I buy for my fish pond is plaster of Paris. It's magnesium sulfate, and I buy that at Walmart, so... And any hobby store wouldn't have that.
So that's what they used to make cast out of?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right. I was way off then. I love to blow something up then by trying to mix it up. So I appreciate it. Thanks.
Well, that's qualified answer. I'm semi-guessing, so you may want to look it up to be sure.
Good luck to you. Now, do you just put this in the water, or what do you do with it?
Oh, I build a... I put some water and let it dry and harden so it's like a brick. Mm-hmm. And then I put that brick in the water and it slowly dissolves in my fish pond. What I'm striving to do is keep have enough buffer so the pH stays stable. And that's just a buffer as it dissolves.
Because ponds are getting more popular all the time. And they're beautiful. And this is about the time of the year. Give it another few weeks when spring really, starts blossoming out. Everybody gets excited. Let's build a fish pond. I don't know how long their involvement continues in that, but this is a year-round project, isn't it, Don?
Oh, yes.
So it's not just something you
put out there and enjoy. It's like any other pet. They're just wet pets. Yeah. You have to take care of them 365 days a year.
And do you have fish in it all the time? They last through the winter, all that?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Interesting. 893-1450 is our number. We're going to pause and check on the traffic and weather. We'll be back and take some more calls. If you have any questions dealing with lawns, gardens, fish ponds, whatever it might be, the number's 893-1450. We have with us two master gardeners, Don Richardson and Carol Reese, this morning. 893-1450.
Thought she was a woman, but she was another man. All the girls around me say she's got it coming, but she gets it while she can. Get back, get back, get back to where you once belong.
Now more than ever, start your mornings with WGNS. Swap and Shop with Bart Walker. Weekday mornings, 7:50 to 8:10 on WGNS, AM, FM, online.
Jay Cash, the auctioneer and real estate broker, is having an absolute auction Saturday, 10 a.m., Murfreesboro, Tennessee. 3-bed, 2-bath brick home on 3.8 acres. Move in ready. Moments from I-24. JamesRCash.net for details. Sale conducted by James R. Cash, auction style.
The President's Day sale at Ford of Murfreesboro continues. Ford is home with the new 2013 F-150. Get up to $12,000 in factory rebates and discounts off MSRP on 2012 F-150s and 250s. Or get financing as low as 0% for 72 months. Offers with approved credit, new 2013 F-150, MSRP 24665, SDK number FA98964, plus tax, title includes $598 document fee. Discount off MSRP, dealer retains all Ford factory rebates and discounts. Example vehicle 2012 F-250, SDK number EB72146, 13.89 per thousand finance monthly, example down 10%. Visit fordofmurfreesboro.com on Broad at Northfield.
Hello, I'm Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers. We carry the full line of Tag Heuer watches, all at 15% off every day. Our in-house watch technicians will replace the batteries and pressure test all Tag watches for half the price of other stores in our area. Bring it into Bell Jewelers.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street in Murfreesboro, across from Toots.
Technology can be confusing, but it's our passion.
You know, I knew enough information to be dangerous myself, but just wanted an expert opinion, you know, somebody that knew that was really into the technology and up on all the terminology and that sort of thing.
The Tech Life, helping you buy, set up, and use technology online at thetechlife.net.
Play it again, sports!
Your fitness headquarters.
Get more for your money with new and used fitness equipment from Play It Again Sports. Name brands, unbeatable prices, and new equipment arriving daily.
Trade in, trade up.
Play it again, sports!
On Thompson Lane.
WGNS Time Saver Traffic.
Good morning. We've got a bit of congestion still. Old Fort Parkway at Bridge Avenue, Old Fort Parkway at Chapin Place, Old Fort Parkway at Kaysen Lane, I-24 at 96, Broad at Memorial, Broad at Church with busy traffic, I-24 Medical Center Parkway. Quite a bit of congestion there also. Slick spots out there. Slow down. Be safe, everybody. Dr. Beautiful, your beauty prescription now at Botox for only $9.25 a unit. Dr. Beautiful offers professional skin care combining the best of medical science and nature. Call 931-433-6871. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
A slight chance of rain this afternoon, otherwise cloudy skies. Our highs will be in the lower to mid-40s with a west-northwest wind between 10 and 20. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Valuber.
Currently 36.
This is Freedom Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro, and we have hot, delicious Otis Spunkmeyer cookies every day. Come and see us, First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, and home of Otis Spunkmeyer hot, delicious cookies.
We're WGNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, and AM 1450. Worldwide at WGNSradio.com.
Hey, welcome back. Our number is 893-1450. We're talking lawns and gardens this morning. 893-1450. Master Gardeners Carol Reese and Don Richardson with us this morning. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Very well, thank you. I'm really enjoying the show.
Thank you.
And I called about the date of that fun day at the Agri Lane Center, and then I do have another question. I live in the Walter Hill area.
Mm-hmm.
That's very rocky. And when I dig down, I've only got about 8 to 12 inches of soil, if that. So I'm making a bed and collecting soil, like from people's pots that they don't want anymore, of dead plants. So I've been doing that. And then it occurred to me a few months ago to add some ash from my bonfire pile.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that, and then nothing's been happening. It's been winter, and I'm just wondering if that was wise or not.
What do you think about adding the ash?
Ash from wood.
As I recall, ash and so forth tends to be a little more acid or alkaline. I guess that's alkaline. But so you might affect your soil pH. You might want to get a soil sample and take it, send it to the soil lab, and check the acidity of your soil and so forth, because different crops respond better to different pH levels in the soil. And
I'm just making a flower garden bed, not today.
Okay, well, again, some plants like hydrangeas be a pink or blue depending upon the pH of the soil. So, yes, it affects all plants, but it depends on how much ash you've added and so forth and what the original pH would be to what the effect would be.
Okay, and the reason I put it on is just simply because I need more soil, because there's hardly any there, and I don't want to go buying soil, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a cheap way to make.
One thing you can do too is add a lot of compost. Your leaves and this type of thing. Your garden trash. Many of our master gardeners have compost bins where they produce organic residue, and that's one thing our soil tends to lack is good organic residue and humus in the soil. It improves the soil by its texture and the tilth of the soil. So. Saving your leaves, et cetera, and applying them back to your garden bed is a wise step.
Yes, I will try that. Well, I'm really excited to go over there and check you guys out and look at all the sample gardens, et cetera, because, yes.
Good luck to you.
Spring fever has hit, and I hate all this gray Tennessee weather.
It'll soon be beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. And a word to the wise, get your soil tested. I know for about 2 years, we kept trying to grow grass in our front yard, had no luck with it. We would bring people in, you need to add sulfur. Well, they'd throw sulfur on it, till it in. We went through this for 2 or 3 years, and then somebody said, you ought to have the soil tested. It didn't need sulfur. And you can't tell just by
looking.
Seeing.
That's right.
So, and I think it cost $4.
$7.
$7.
$7. Okay. And all you do is take a bag of your soil if you're going to have different applications. But if you're just going to have lawn, you just take segments of the area you're going to have lawn, put it in a plastic bag, carry it to the extension office, and they package it up and carry it for mm-hmm. you. You don't even have to go to the post office.
You'll get a complete report?
Yeah. But if you have another area where you want to have vegetables or another area where you want to have flowers, you keep that separate. It's all $7 each, and they will tell you exactly what you need to do to have a successful garden in that area.
Just take that to the Lane Agri-Park.
Yes, sir.
Now, the other question she wanted to know again about that Ag Day. When is that again?
That is April 20th.
April 20th.
And that's sponsored by the Farm Bureau, not the UTTSU Extension, but it's located at the Lane Agri-Park on John Rice Boulevard.
Okay, April 20th.
Yes, sir.
All righty. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Don and Carol. How are you today?
Hello.
Hey, good morning to you.
How about horse manure?
It's a great additive, but you have to be careful of the weed seeds. The horses are going to eat quite a few things, and they're not going to kill all those weed seeds. So it's best to take that horse manure and compost it, which is pile it up in a pile with, I think it's 30-1 carbon to nitrogen. So it'd be 30-1 dry material to a wet material, which your horse manure. And you can't ever get that completely right, but you pile it up and you let it cook. It'll cook all by itself. You don't have to add anything to it. And then every so often, 2 or 3 weeks, if you could turn it, it'd be great. It would just speed up the process. Otherwise, you'd just leave it in a pile. And in a year, if you turn it, it could be 2 or 3 weeks. If you don't turn it, it could be a year. You take that material and you put it in your garden, and it'll work like gangbusters.
The composting is a heating process where the material is a material.
What about just spreading it on the garden and tilling it under?
Well, if the weed seeds in the horse manure are exposed to water, air, and light, they'll germinate. So you're going to be weeding on a regular basis. And another downside is if it's heavy with urea, you could burn your baby plants. So if you do use it, it would be best to keep it over to the side, not right up next to the plant.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Good luck to you. So if you put this manure into a compost, that kills the weeds?
If the heat gets up high enough.
How do you control heat? I mean, you don't really...
By the ratio of ingredients that you put in it. You're encouraging microbes to grow. The microbes are going to create the heat. The heat is going to kill the seeds.
Okay. So how do you know when it has heated enough and
you can
ready
feel
to
the
eat?
Heat.
You actually can feel it.
Yeah.
You could use a thermometer. There are special thermometers that you bury in the compost pile and so forth. But one of the secrets is you've got to get a certain amount of mass. If you spread a nice thin layer out, it's not going to generate the heat necessary to essentially disinfect itself. Mm-hmm.
So compost would be leaves, grass, throw in a little manure, a little bit, whatever.
Leftover straw, nothing with seed. Try to avoid anything with seeds.
What about food?
Leftover food.
Food's okay.
Potato peelings, leftover pumpkins.
Put it all together?
If it's organic, no meat. Mm-hmm. You'll just attract varmints.
Okay. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Fine. I just wanted to ask them a question.
Sure.
Have they ever heard of a vegetable peach?
A vegetable peach? Is that what you
yes,
said?
Yes, sir.
No, sir, I have not. Mr.
Well,
no, I have not either.
My uncle grew some years ago, and he wanted me to try. He lived at Milton. So I tried it, and I wouldn't advise anybody to raise any because... This thing tastes more like a bar of Camay soap than anything I ever tried.
Ooh, boy.
But I just wanted to ask y'all and see if y'all ever heard of it.
My mother might have used that when I was a child. My mother might have used that to wash my mouth out with when I was a child.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. 893-1450 is our number. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. 893-1450. When is the next opportunity for somebody who really wants to expand their knowledge on gardening to get involved with the Master Gardeners, to get on the course of going through your program and everything?
Well, the next course will be in next January and so forth, but anyone that has an interest in gardening intends eventually to become a master gardener, we welcome to participate in our Rutherford County Master Gardener Association. We call them associate members. They may not be allowed to vote or be speakers and so forth, but they can hobnob and rub elbows with the rest of us and hopefully then take the course the next time it comes around. So we welcome people that like this to join our association as well.
Can they also volunteer with you for various functions?
Well, it depends on the function. Since they don't have the experience base on some things, we might prefer they not be a speaker on composting or something.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, but certainly they can do some of the work on the herb garden or the butterfly garden or some of the backbreaking kind of activities.
Learn the sweat equity on
that. Yeah, that's right.
893-1450 is our number. We're talking about gardening. We're talking about the Master Gardeners of Rutherford County. And do you expand? You mentioned a little bit earlier about some of your folks had backgrounds that included beekeeping and things of that sort. Do you cover the whole gamut of home agriculture, I guess we could call it?
Yes. Our classes haven't addressed beekeeping per se, but I know in the Master Gardener program I've been involved 10 or 12 years. We've had two or three speakers that came in and talked to us about bees. Bees are important to the gardeners because they're pollinators. And so, yes, we're interested in beekeeping and so forth because we need the pollinators and so forth. But in the process of listening to those speakers, we also learned something about honey production.
So actually, if you had an interest in beekeeping and had it right there at your garden, would your garden have a better chance than others?
Well, you certainly need pollinators. Now, there are wild pollinators as well as domesticated pollinators, which I would call honeybees, mm-hmm. so forth. So depending on the plant as to what type of insect normally pollinates it. Some are wind-pollinated, some are pollinated by flies of different types and so forth. So, yes, but bees are an important pollinator for many of our commercial crops.
Let's go back to the phones. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I'm well. Thank you very much. And you?
Doing fine. Thanks for calling.
Oh, you're welcome, sir. I have a question, and it's maybe related. It may not be, but I'm hoping these fine folks will know the answer. I live in a mobile home, and y'all all know how wet it's been here this year. And I had some plumbing issues, and a gentleman went under my house, and there's mold under there, and I need a natural suggestion on how to kill that mold from all the rain that we've had this year. And, you know, any good suggestions you might have, if you could give me those, I'll hang up and listen. And I thank you very much for the program, and thank you, Bart.
Thanks for calling. You have a nice day. Well, what about that? A natural way to get rid of mold?
Well, I guess the first thing I would think is that you need to make sure that you keep it dry. Then you may need to do some structural building around the base of the mobile home and something to keep it dry. I would encourage them to take this question to the extension office and contact some people there. Molds are not something I'd want to play around with, and I don't feel qualified to give her an expertise answer.
Okay. Maybe somebody listening has had that problem too. And of course, if you have a mold problem, that also leads to some serious health issues.
That's
sometimes.
Right. That's right.
Is it the black mold? Is
yes.
that what they call it?
Yeah.
Okay. And I wonder if you would know that. She said it's under the structure. I wonder if you would know that problem was growing, and could it be a problem if it's under the structure, or does it have to get inside where you are?
I think it's an issue with a lot of people in crawl spaces and that type of thing, so...
It's a problem when you build up spores in the air and you breathe them in. So if there's any air exchange between the inside of the property and the outside of the property, you're looking at problems. This is a question best left to professionals.
Yeah, absolutely. You might also, if you have a computer, you can Google how do you kill mold naturally. And I've just, you know, stumble on a few different suggestions on that, so it is out there. And maybe some of you listening, if you have had this problem, call and share with us what you did. It's, as Don had said, it's basically reducing the moistness, making it dry again. And I would guess a good place to start would be to put a plastic covering on the earth below the trailer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And make sure that water is going away.
Draining away, so it's not pooling under
a gutter system to funnel the water away, or a drainage system might be a good idea.
So this would be a variation on that program that you were talking about earlier, where you'd get use the water for filtering, but in her case, get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you put plastic down, be sure the center of the plastic, basically where the center is higher, so that it goes out into the yard.
The plastic would keep water or moisture from weeping, or wicking up into the area and so forth. But drainage water needs to be taken out and gotten away from the premise.
Okay, does that help you some? I think she's still there, are you? Okay, I believe she's gone. All righty, 893-1450. If some of you have had problems with mold, and have gotten rid of it naturally, we'd like to hear from you. Some of the things that you tried, 893-1450, mold, mildew, any of those things. And that over time will weaken wood structures. If you have any wood in the structure, and most structures do have some wood in it, that weakens that. It creates, an atmosphere for termites, too.
From gardening perspective, we deal with molds a lot, and powdery mildew and things like that affect our yields and our beauty of our plants. And one of the keys there is to water early in the morning so the foliage tends to dry, because moisture, again, is critical for the development and spreading of molds. So if you have a dogwood tree, which may get powdery mildew, water it in the spring or early in the morning and let the sun dry the leaf foliage so that it doesn't get mold.
Now, is mold that problem that you have on the bottom of tomatoes? It's sort of black or
That's
something?
That's a Wasilium it's a fungi, but very similar. Now, I don't think we call it a mold, but same kind of issue. The spores are in the ground. Rainwater hits the ground and spices them up on the plant, and they infect the plant tissue.
Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Carol Reese and Don Richardson. How are you
today? How y'all doing today?
Doing fine. Thank you.
Well, let me tell you something about that. You can go out there at the Lowe's, and they'll tell you what to get for moles, or you can get the trap and set it out there, and he'll jump in that trap.
Well, I think we're talking about two issues. One was MOLD, mold, a fungi, and you're talking about the little pests that invade and eat earthworms and grubs in our soil, MOLES.
Yeah.
So we're talking about two different issues.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay, but we'll solve both of those.
Okay. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you for calling. And a good mole dog, MOLE, catching dog. But I don't know how you'd train one. Some people just have
a
dog.
It's a natural.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
You either have one or you don't.
And I've had people call and they say the best way to get rid of MOLE is to be watching your yard and you can see the soil move. And I'm thinking, man, that's like watching the grass grow almost.
Yes, you can see the soil move, though.
And maybe some of you have been able to do that. And I wonder how long does it take? 893-1450. We're talking about MOLE and MOLD. The little furry animals are the MOLE, and the one that's created by too much water, I guess, is MOLD. And that's the one we're asking about. If you've been able to reduce that problem, call us. 893-1450. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
We bring people to know you, and you know them. People like Truman Jones. Weekday mornings at 9, only on WGNS. AM FM, online.
For decades, we've been telling you that Bell Furniture has first-quality, name-brand furniture half-price every day. Now this locally owned family business has pictures of some of their furniture on the internet at www.bellfurnitureonline.com. Save with Perry Bell at Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna. And on the internet at www.bellfurnitureonline.com.
Sunshine Nutrition Center is your full-range health food store. We offer supplements, grocery items, pet food, fresh produce, juice bar, and a deli. Come visit us at Sunshine Nutrition Center for all your healthy needs in Murfreesboro and in Smyrna.
That's Kim Hilsman.
Spring is near and it's time to open your windows. Southern Breeze Home Design Center can help you choose new energy efficient windows and have them installed by spring. Stop by our showroom at the Avenue between Michaels and Petco or visit us online at southernbreezehome.com.
For home remodels with ease, call Southern Breeze.
A slight chance of rain this afternoon, otherwise cloudy skies. Our highs will be in the lower to mid-40s with a west-northwest wind between 10 and 20. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Thaluber.
Currently 36.
Hello, this is Bill Taylor, owner and chief instructor of the Bushido School of Karate with two locations here in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. I'd like to tell you about our summer program starting June 1st with lessons going until the end of July. This program is for adults or children. Our summer program is for 2 months of lessons, comes with a uniform, free belt exams, free private lessons, free t-shirt, and a whole lot more. If you've ever thought about trying martial arts for children or adults, this is a great way to get started. Anyone that registers for our summer program before May 1st can do this great program for $99. For more information or in order to contact us, please visit our website at bskonline.com. That's bskonline.com. Our summer program includes lessons for all ages, June and July, only $99 if you register before May 1st.
Jay Cash, the auctioneer and real estate broker, is having an absolute auction Saturday, 10 a.m., Murfreesboro, Tennessee. 3-bed, 2-bath brick home on 3.8 acres. Move-in ready. Moments from I-24. JamesRCash.net for details. Sale conducted by James R. Cash, auction style.
After Monty Hale and Tim Tackett talk sports on All Sports Talk at 2, join me for Sports Night. This is George Plaster on WGNS.
We are back again. 893-1450 is the number. Master Gardeners Carol Reese and Don Richardson with us this morning. And good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Good morning.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine. I want to try to help the lady with the mold problem.
All righty.
I live in a 3-bedroom house, ranch-style house, and many years ago I had a mold problem or a mildew that was collecting in a corner of one of the rooms, and I tried different other things, and finally I went to Lowe's and got a roll of clear plastic. I went under the house, and I covered the entire ground area with plastic. And when I did, it stopped the mold.
Stopped? How long did it take to do that?
Pardon me?
How long did it take to see the problem go away?
How long did it take to do it?
Right,
Took me a pretty good while, because this is a 3-bedroom house, but I was a lot younger then than I am now. But under a trailer, it probably wouldn't take as long.
Oh, okay.
But that's the secret, is just cover all the ground area.
Very good. Thank you for calling.
That'll do it.
Thank you.
You bet.
Let's go to another call here. You're on WGNS. Good morning.
Yes, I have a question about some cane. I'd like to start some cane, or maybe you call it bamboo, and do you have any idea how you would start that?
I would buy starts from a reputable nursery. Be careful what kind of bamboo you start, because bamboo kind of grows from a mat. The really big bamboo is very invasive, but it grows really fast. I once had bamboo in a backyard that I had to rent a bobcat to get rid of it. And after I was done, I found out I had 20 extra feet of yard I never knew I'd never seen before. So
what I'm trying to do is kind of make a break between me and a neighbor, but it's going to be in the woods.
Yeah. They have beautiful bamboos that are only 6 to 8 foot tall. There is a bamboo nursery, if I'm not mistaken, in the state of Tennessee. Just Google bamboo nurseries, Tennessee. And this weekend is also the Tennessee Lawn and Garden at the fairgrounds in Nashville. And there might be some nursery people there that have bamboo. But just make sure that the one you get isn't invasive. There are beautiful ones that don't run.
They spread by rhizomes. And as the rhizome comes off the plant, that sends up a new shoot. And as Carol mentioned, some of them are very, very invasive. So use care on the variety you select.
All right. Hey, I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
I remember when they were initially talking about putting the boardwalk system through our Murfree Spring wetland. I got all excited about that and started looking for places similar to go visit and see what they had created, and found one over in Chattanooga. Very neat boardwalk system through a wetland. I bring this up because they also had a huge bamboo forest that you walk through, and it's just interesting to be able to see that. And he might want to try that before planting his own.
There's also one at Cheekwood, but again, that's large bamboo. I don't know if he wants to plant that kind.
Many people plant bamboo will plant it in a container to keep the rhizomes from spreading it, so they can keep the plant contained. Even if you bury a container so that the rhizome can't move and you can confine it to an area, or you could pour little concrete walls around you.
So you could bed area control it to a degree that way?
Yes.
We hope.
Maybe. It's sort of like kudzu, is it? Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Yes. It's a bamboo out on Amelville Road. I think there is a bamboo nursery.
Oh, okay. On Amelville Road.
Excellent. Right. Thank you.
Yeah, it's maybe about 1 mile, probably up off of 96, I think.
Okay, local bamboo.
Do you happen to know the name?
No, ma'am, no, right offhand.
Well, I'm going to be looking for it. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. bye-bye. That should be easy to spot, I would guess. Or unless, I don't know what little baby bamboos look like. They get pretty good size, yeah. Fascinating things. And bamboo is beautiful, I think. You just have to be aware of the some of the other the negatives that might come along with it.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a listener, I always remember this call. They said, I'd like to maybe put some kudzu in the area. And Dwayne Trail was on that time, and he said something, you may really want to think about that before you do that.
I kind of feel like the damage is done. Yeah. but
for some reason, I don't think we have a lot of it around here. Do we have? Have you seen some in Rutherford?
Yeah, I have.
You have? Okay. Well, it's certainly not like in Georgia.
No.
I mean, it takes over houses and things. We have about a minute left in the program. Some final thoughts on the Master Gardener program. How can people get involved? Tell us a little about, again, your special events coming up.
The association meets the third Monday night of each month at the Ag Center. Usually the meeting starts, people gather at 6:30 and we have some snacks and the meeting starts at 7. That's a good place if you have an interest in joining the club. And at the farmer's market, we have a table, usually Ask the Master Gardener, people there to answer questions, but they can also tell you about what future events and things that are coming up. If you have an interest in gardening and an interest in public service, well, Master Garden's an ideal program to participate in.
Sounds like you have a lot of fun, too. Don Richardson and Carol Reese, both Master Gardeners, visiting with us today. Tomorrow at this time, Chairwoman Kathy Hines of TN0. She will be here. I think you're going to be surprised at some of the issues facing our youth. Sex trafficking, drugs, gangs, things of that sort. It is here. We'll be talking about that tomorrow. Have a great day. Truman is next. Yes, I do. Yes, yes.